11 different anxiety disorders are listed in the 5th edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, commonly referred to as the Diagnostic Bible. I had symptoms of 4. I was having panic attacks, sudden, intense periods of blinding terror, rapid breathing, and chest pain several times a day. Diagnosis: generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD. I had developed a long list of particular fears, too. Dentists, flying, driving on highways, taking medication, touching dirt, using a new tube of toothpaste, and licking envelopes. I did my best to avoid them all. Diagnosis: specific phobia. My world was becoming smaller and smaller as more places became no-go zones. Movie theaters, stadiums, lines. The potential for panic attacks and the difficulty of escape was too great. Diagnosis: agoraphobia. I had symptoms of a couple of cousin disorders, too. A twisted perfectionism turned the smallest decision into a colossal obstacle. I felt a sense of sinister foreboding if I didn't choose the right dress to wear, the right water glass. Diagnosis: obsessive-compulsive disorder. I agonized over every odd sensation or twinge of physical pain. A headache was clearly an aneurysm, a bruise, leukemia. Diagnosis: illness anxiety disorder, previously called hypochondriasis. The estimated number of people who will have at least one anxiety disorder during the course of their lives is staggering. 1 in 3 Americans ages 13 or older. If we look only at women, the number is even higher, about 40%. In any given year, about 40 million American adults have an anxiety disorder. And those numbers do not include the millions of garden variety worriers and insomniacs whose anxiety, though not debilitating, leeches joy and steals peace of mind. A certain amount of anxiety is good. It motivates us to study for tests, prepare for presentations, and save for retirement. It spurs us to get a physical or check the gas gauge. Too much anxiety, however, can be incapacitating and costly. In a 1999 study, the most recent estimate available, anxiety disorders cost the United States about $63 billion a year, more than half of it attributed to doctor and hospital visits. Other costs included psychiatric treatment, prescription drugs, and the value of lost productivity at work. There's also mounting evidence that out-of-control anxiety wreaks havoc on the body, increasing the risk of heart disease and weakening the immune system. Ironically, being a hypochondriac may actually make you sick. It is tempting to think of our era, with its wars, terrorist attacks, rising sea levels, and economic insecurity, as, to borrow the poet W.H. Auden's phrase, the age of anxiety. But cultural commentators throughout history have viewed their own times as equally fraught. In the 1880s, the telegraph, the steam engine, and even women's intellectual pursuits were blamed for the nation's unease. In the 1950s, it was the atomic bomb. Our world, it seems, always provides ample fodder for fear. What is disconcerting is that rates of anxiety disorders and depression seem to be increasing among young people, particularly college students. According to a spring 2016 survey by the American College Health Association, 17% of students were diagnosed with or treated for anxiety problems during the previous year, and nearly 14% were diagnosed with or treated for depression. That is up from about 10% each for anxiety and depression in the fall 2008 survey. Parents and professionals are perplexed. While some of the rise may be because of increased prevalence, it could also be that more people are comfortable asking for help and admitting their troubles to researchers. Depression may get most of the headlines and the research dollars, but anxiety is more prevalent. In people with a history of both an anxiety and a mood disorder, anxiety usually makes an appearance first. Anxiety disorders strike young, too. They have a median age of onset of 15, compared with 26 for mood disorders. And while anxiety disorders are pretty miserable in and of themselves, they are increasingly being thought of as gateway illnesses that can lead to a host of other problems, such as depression, substance use, and even suicide.